is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Man, strong over here. Thank you. Strong over here too. Thank you. I heard all that, so I love it. Man, oh man. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. How many are ready for it to cool down outside? Yeah, I know. But yesterday really was a pretty decent day, and I say that it had a little breeze. Cindy and I went out and sat in the backyard. We're picking blackberries. We have blackberry bushes, and I didn't know, but I guess every other year those things come up. So some years we have a big harvest, and some years a little harvest. But this year, those things are this big almost. Okay, not quite that big, but they're pretty big. And they're everywhere. Everywhere. They're growing out of places I never saw in the backyard. I thought, I don't remember them being there. And then they're from here to this white pedestal. They're that deep. And I said, I'll let the deer get back in there because my flesh isn't strong enough to do it. But man, what a powerful thing that is, grabbing those blackberries. And my wife, she loves just to make blackberry cobbler. As often as I'll pick those things, she'll make it for me. So I love it. Thank you, dear. But it's great. Those things are huge and they're plentiful. And I love that. Where did they come from? I don't know, because I didn't plant them. I didn't plant them, but they're there today, and I'm thankful they're there. I'm reaping the harvest of that. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 18 is what we'll be reading today. And it says, those who sow, people will reap what they sow at the end of verse 7. Then it says, those who sow to please their sinful nature from the nature will reap destruction. Those who sow to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I thought, as I was picking blackberries, I thought, where did these things come from? At this point, I don't really care, but I was curious. I was just glad they were there for my picking. And the Bible tells us, man, we're going to reap what we sow. I'm reaping what somebody else sowed, and we'll talk about that in just a minute also. But I want us to think back on what we talked about 2 weeks ago. And I read the scripture and I broke it down and I said, there's three things we've got to pay attention to. What did we just read? What is it really telling us? And how do we respond to what we read? And I remember very distinctly, because it was only 2 weeks ago. At this age, that's hard to do, but I remember it. But it said, accept those that are weaker in the faith. And I distinctly remember reading that and studying that. And asking myself, why? Why do we have to accept those that are weaker in the faith? And it said, down below, it said, because God has already accepted who? That person that is weaker in the faith. If we look, if we learn and understand how to read our Bible, and how to read and understand what we're reading, and then how to respond to that, it starts making a little more sense. I don't want to accept people that are weak in the faith. I think we need to have a church full of strong, faithful people. That sounds great, but why do I need to accept them? Because God's already accepted them. I did some training last week at work. And the guy talked about master craftsmen. And I thought, really, it pertains to church as well. And where do you start out? You start out as an apprentice, learning. And then you're a journeyman, and then you're a master. I'm not going to make it through this thing. Cindy, can I bother you to get me a bottle of water, please? Thank you, dear. I love you. And it talked about along the way, you add tools to your toolbox. But you learn, not only do you add tools, man, as a Christian, hey, we gave you a Bible, you're a new Christian, you were baptized, here's your new Bible. Great, put it in my tool bag, and I just carry it from job to job. I never know how to use this thing. I take it, and I'm trying to use it to smack in nails. I'm trying to use it to bend something over so it doesn't pull out. I'm trying to get it to pop something up or out. When we don't know how to learn, when we don't learn how to use our tools properly, it's not a benefit to us just to have it in the toolbox. I have this shiny new tool I've never used. Hang on there. Thank you, dear. refreshing. Thank you. And we have to learn how to respond. When God tells us these things, how do we respond? When we read this stuff, we have to know. It says, people reap what they sow. Great, what does that tell? It tells us right now that if we sow, we will reap, right? We're going to come back to that if part in just a minute. If we sow, we will reap. What also did it say? It said, if we sow to our sinful nature, we will reap destruction. I better keep this thing close. At my age, bending over to pick up water, as close as that is tough. But it says, if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap what? Eternal life. There's all that praising and shouting I did earlier that got me in trouble with my voice. I want eternal life over destruction. Do you guys want eternal life over destruction? I would think so. So we have to reap to what? The Spirit. It tells us exactly where to reap, or where to sow, I'm sorry. Sow to the Spirit to reap eternal life. Sow to sin or the flesh and we'll reap destruction. Now I said, if we sow, we have to remember God wants us all to be farmers. What does that mean? Yes, farmers. He wants us to plant. She's down there somewhere. He wants us to plant. Why does he want us to plant? So that we can sow. So that we can reap. So that we can pick up what we've planted. If we sow, we will reap. If we don't sow, there's nothing necessarily for us to reap. Now we'll read in a little bit about, hey, if somebody else plants and waters, where does that come from? But many Christians today, they say, I want to reap what somebody else has sown. I don't want to plant anything. Yesterday was too hot to go out planting. It was too hot to go out sowing seeds. I don't want to. And Christians, yes, even Christians say, I don't want to sow. I just want to come and I want to reap the harvest or the benefit of somebody else's work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have to get off our John derriere, and we have to sow. We have to get out there and plant seeds. And I know right now we can say, hey, it's tough to plant a seed right now. We got this COVID business going on. We're not meeting. We're not doing anything. And some people say, hey, when will we be meeting for Wednesday night, Sunday school, whatever? Well, first of all, when we come to church, we will say, okay, people are starting to attend this. We can look at doing that. By the way, Oklahoma City said you've got to have a mask on when you're out in public. Places of worship, by the way, you have to have a mask unless you practice social distancing. So make sure we're paying attention to that as well, Oklahoma City. And we're in Oklahoma City, technically. But we want to protect ourselves. So please follow those things. When are we going to do these things? When can I sow seeds? Man, there's a lot of things to be done. Thank you for mowing, Adonijah. I appreciate that. Eric, thank you for weed eating. Vern's not here. Vern, thank you. But different ones of you do different things around the church. Thank you for that. There's still opportunities abound. They may not be here. They may be somewhere else. Is there something? Is there a seed you can sow at your work? I say at your school, even if it's an online school, whatever it is. In your retirement, is there a seed that you can sow so that you can reap? But God says, man, it's not okay to sit there and expect to reap what somebody else has sown. That's through no work. Now, it is okay to reap something that somebody else has sown. It's not saying that's bad. It's bad when you don't do any planting yourself. Okay? We can do those things. We sow into other people as well so that they can reap the harvest of that sowing. So it is okay to reap the benefit of somebody sowing. again, where do we sow? To the Spirit. What happens when we sow to sin or flesh? We reap destruction. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there was a lot of discussion on in the church at Corinth when it was established. Who do we follow? Well, I follow this person and I follow that person. Well, I just follow them. If they don't say it, I don't believe it, I don't follow it. So there was a lot of problems with that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, they said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but who made it grow? It says God made it grow. We have to be very careful when we're sowing our seeds, not say, hey, look what I did. I did all this. Oh, and by the way, somebody else helped me. But who's making that seed grow? God is making it grow. And it goes on and it tells us not to boast in ourselves. In the end of Galatians 6, don't leave out of there if you have already. Go back because we're going to finish up in Galatians 6. But it'll tell us about boasting in things other than God. I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. We have to remember these things as we're planting, as we're working in the kingdom. Now, verse 9 and 10, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Okay, great. So we read that. What does that tell us? It tells us when we do work, don't get tired. How come? It says there will be a harvest, but it says when? It says at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. At the proper time. A lot of times we look for that harvest and we want the immediate response. I planted the seed. And think about young kids when they go out. They plant a seed. They plant a garden. They help plant a garden. What do? They're out there looking every day. They water it. And the next day they're waiting for that green sprout to come up, right? We do the same thing. Good Lord. God, I've done this. Where's the reward? Man, it's been 3 weeks. Could you just let someone's heart take a while to change, to mend, to whatever? Don't get tired while we're sowing our seeds. Why? Because in the proper time, you will be rewarded with a harvest. We get tired. We plant, we plant, we plant, and we're looking around for that harvest. There's going to be harvest we may never see. Some of you have been here for years. You've planted seeds for years, and you're looking around going, where's the harvest? I know Pam and Tim planted seeds years ago at Ground Zero. Rex and Charlotte planted seeds. Where's the harvest? Now, I know you know it's out there because you run into people here and there that say, hey, I remember you. But some of that harvest we will never see on this side of heaven. But we're going to see it on the other side. And our work isn't for the response right now or the harvest right now, although there may be a harvest. We want to do it because there's a kingdom harvest we'll have also. And we'll talk about that in just a minute as well. Do not grow weary. Verse 11 says, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. And I find this interesting as he's concluding this letter. It says, those who want to impress others by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. I can think of a bunch of other reasons to do that. But it says the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised. Why? So that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. It means nothing. If it means nothing, what counts? And it tells us there, what counts is a new creation. He doesn't care if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, and he certainly doesn't want you doing that so that you can boast in the flesh and say, hey, look what we did. We don't want to do any ministry and say, hey, look what we did. I live this way, but I want to do this so I look good to others. He says what counts is the new creation. There's several scriptures that talk about a new creation. And God says, when you become a new creation, the former things, those things you used to do, that person that you used to be, is no more. Now, it doesn't say this, but unless what? Unless we allow that old person to creep back up, to creep back in, those old habits to creep back in. And trust me, it is hard when you know you're in a place and you're at the bottom and you reach out and call out Jesus' name and he says, okay, I accept you. And by the way, I know you're in the bottom of the barrel, so your faith is going to be weaker, but they should accept you. Why? Because I accepted you there in the bottom of the barrel when you called out my name. Now, that doesn't mean everything went away. It means in the power of the Holy Spirit, everything can go away and will if you allow it. But it doesn't mean it did if the flesh is still overriding that power of the Spirit. Now, it says at the end of verse 15, what counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brothers and sisters, amen. Are we sowing to the flesh in our day-to-day activities? Even when we're talking about Jesus Christ, when we're talking about church, when we're talking about the Spirit, are we sowing to the flesh? It can happen. Let's not act like it can't, doesn't, don't, won't, whatever. It can happen. We can be talking about church and it can be very fleshy. We have to boast on Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In verse 14. I planted, Apollos watered. Who made you grow? Who planted the seed in you? Who helped you along the way? But who gives the growth? God gives the growth. God and only God is the one that brings that to life. Don't get tired when doing good. Why? Because you will reap a harvest. And I know some are thinking, man, I've been doing this for years. Where is that harvest? We talked several weeks ago about, are you fully involved? Are you fully committed to it? I planted a garden before I wasn't fully committed to, and what took over? Weeds. Did I reap a harvest? Yeah, sort of. Was it as full as it could be or should be? No. I have to constantly weed that garden. I have to constantly fertilize that if I want it to be the best. You don't think prize pumpkins that are 5 billion pounds, whatever they weigh, you don't think those come from someone not working at it, do you? I just threw up this, spit out a pumpkin seed, and lo and behold, look what grew, a prize pumpkin. No, it took work and effort for them to grow that. They had to weed it. They had to fertilize it. They took care of it. And God says, we've got to do that same thing with where we're planting, where we're sowing. Why? So that when we reap the benefit of that, he came that we may have life and have it more what? Abundantly. We can have life. We can have a harvest. Do we want the abundant harvest? Do we want the abundant life? Final comments here. Oh, Lordy, the law of multiplication. Those of you that fear math, don't worry. There's no test. There's no numbers. But the law of multiplication says, man, when you plant a little seed of wheat, what grows up? A stalk that can have hundreds of seeds on it. When you plant an acorn, what grows up? An oak tree that can have thousands of acorns on it. When you plant a seed of corn, you think a stalk comes up with one ear of corn on it? I hope not. No. Several ears of corn. The law of multiplication says when you plant, the harvest is going to be multiplied. Listen carefully, church. That's for good sowing and bad sowing. That's for sowing to the Spirit, and that's for sowing to sin. It will be multiplied. If you sow to sin and to the flesh, and you reap destruction, it will be multiplied. A lot of people say, oh my gosh, that's not fair. I don't deserve this. Why me? God, where are you? He said, man, I was watching you sow that seed down there, and what were you thinking? I tried to tell you not to. I even made the ground hard. But all you did was keep chinking away at it. Kept pouring some water in there, waiting for it to soften up. And I'll be doggone if you didn't stick that seed in there anyway and cover it up. I make things grow, so I made it grow. And so what you were able to reap was multiplied because I make things grow. The law of multiplication says things will be multiplied. When you sow, it will be multiplied. Church, when you get Philip Bellflower, when he does our tithe message, often will go to Malachi 3:10. Just for fun, if we're sowing to the Spirit, our reaping should be multiplied. When we sow to sin, it will be multiplied as well. Malachi 3:10 tells us this. 10 through 12. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Let's go back. How much do we bring in? The whole tithe. Why? That there may be food in my house. Test me in this, he says. Whew, you got to be careful when we're testing God. It says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I debated on whether to say this, but man, I'm going to say it anyway. Don't worry, I'm not going to criticize you for not tithing. In the midst of all this, sometimes my wife and I feel a little guilty. We've sown to the Spirit. We've sown into this. And in the midst of this, she was promoted and given a raise. I was promoted. Somehow I missed the raise, but I was promoted. There will be a future one coming, I'm told, but through this. But I thought, I feel guilty sometimes, but I feel blessed because we sow into the Spirit. Now, we'll be the first to tell you, when we first started coming, we did not sow into the Spirit, and we did not tithe that way. But this tells us, test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open. Now, as I said, don't be the one that sows into that and tests God and said, the next week, I knew I wouldn't get a raise. Where's that little green bud coming through the ground? Guys, it doesn't work that way. But he says, I will make it grow. I love that. Verse 11 says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. He tells us to test him. Again, I think we need to be careful when we test God in different things. And we need to be careful in this one because he says, I will make it grow. But he says, don't grow weary when doing good. Don't grow weary when doing what I've told you to do. Bring in the whole tithe. Why? That there may be food in my house. We don't want to be the Christian that said, oh my goodness, the famine has come. I went out to see what I could harvest and there was nothing. Why? Well, I didn't quite get around to planting the seed. I wanted to and I meant to, but I did other things with it. I gave it to the birds to eat. I set it on the counter. It looked pretty. I had other things to do with my seed. And I meant to get around to it, but I just didn't. Test me in this. Sow to the Spirit and reap His multiplication of that sowing. Don't look at the other side and say, oh Lord, I sowed to sin and I sowed to the flesh and He can multiply that as well. I thought I'd try this just once. Jiminy Christmas. I've got this addiction. Why? What happened? I sowed to the flesh and God multiplied it. Uh-oh. I'm stuck. Time to plant your seed somewhere else and sow to something different. What did we read? God said, test me in this. What's our action? Man, give it a shot. Bring it in there that there may be food in my house. And by the way, this is house, and He wants food in here as well. Sow to the kingdom. And He says, see, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Could you imagine the floodgates being thrown open? And Him pouring out and into you? God, let it flow. Come on. Bring it on. Sow to the Spirit. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He's a miracle worker. He is light in the darkness. We sang that. Do we believe it? We have to start knowing what we're singing. We have to start standing on His promises. As the band comes up here, we're going to sing another thing. Sing a song about it as well. With my soul. And today, if you've got something going on, I just want you to believe that it is well with your soul. And you may be troubled, may think, I can't sing that if I don't feel that. But I want you to stand on His promise. And I want you to believe Him that He can make it happen. Why? Because He's a way maker. His word tells us, stand on my promises. Don't stand on your believing in the flesh. Because in the flesh we'll say, this could never happen. People in this church need miracles. They're waiting and praying for God to work miracles in their life. Some of you today are praying for that. Father, we just ask You to be with us today. Lord, we ask You just to help direct our paths this week as we go out and plant seeds. We plant to the Spirit so that we can reap the law of multiplication from a God who gives growth today. In Jesus' name, amen.